Hello, my name is John Orlando, and I am the author of this audio short story you are about to listen to called The Secret Matter of the Mirror. Although it's a complete story, it is just a sample chapter in an adventure-filled book that I wrote called The Drums of Legendary. This story is about to begin. However, I am not the narrator. My dear friend Kathy Priola insisted on telling you the story, so please kick back now and enjoy The Secret Matter of the Mirror.
The Secret Matter of the Mirror. This story is about illusions. It is about deception and misleading appearances. Think of the fairy spirit named Joko, who was very playful and sometimes a trickster. Joko liked to play tricks using reflections and both mental and visual illusions. There was a place called Abra, which meant land with very little rain. There were no lakes or ponds in this dry desert kingdom. People got their water from wells deep within the earth, or from the infrequent rains. Abra was thought to have been in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Before the time of the looking glass, to see one's own image, a person would need a quiet pool of water in which to see their reflection. So the people of this dry land knew not what they looked like. They could see their hands and feet, but could never see their faces or their eyes. For the most part, the people wore long clothing to protect their skin from the hot rays of the sun. All of the children of Abra stayed with their mothers until they were 13 years old. From then on, the boys would stay with the men and learn the ways of becoming a man. Some men hunted as a group, while others were craftsmen. However, there was never enough rain to do much farming. The younger boys did small chores to help the men. They sharpened tools or brought water from the deep well. They learned how to be a man by observing the men as they worked. A boy named Micah just had his 13th birthday, but his mother did not want to give him up to be with the men. Micah was not a strong boy, so his mother begged her husband to let their son stay with her 1 year longer. Micah's father agreed to his wife's request, but sternly said, "I will give Micah one extra year with the women and children, but no more. I will make a man of him like my father made of me." Micah boasted to his father, "The women and children need to be protected while the men are gone. I will keep them safe." Micah wanted to grow up as quickly as possible. He kept to himself his secret fear. Micah was afraid that he would never be manly enough to please his father. One day, a trader came to the village, wanting to sell his wares to the people of Abra. Upon arriving, the trader announced, "I have come from far away to sell many wonderful things, but first I would like to present a gift to King Miro." Upon hearing about the trader and the gift from his messenger, King Miro summoned the trader to come to his palace to present this gift. The trader arrived wearing clothing that glistened in the sun. Such fine clothing was not seen in this land, and was worn nowhere by ordinary people. The trader was a tall man with short legs. Or was he a short man with long legs? He had a beard. But then again, maybe he didn't. Whoever you wanted to see, this strange man would be. Yet, whoever he wanted to be was somehow who you wanted to see. The trader brought with him a strangely wrapped package that was tall, like a man, and wide as a man's shoulders. However, even though the gift was tall and wide, it was very thin indeed. The trader announced that this was the gift he brought for the king. The king's son, Prince Illusio, was very anxious to see what was inside this unusually shaped package. Without asking for permission from his father, the prince immediately jumped to his feet and untied the fine ribbon upon which the gift was revealed. Much to his surprise, when the prince looked upon this funny-shaped object, he saw a reflection of himself staring back at him. The prince did not realize that he was seeing his own image in the looking-glass. Never having seen himself before, the prince did not know what he looked like. At first he thought the gift was a painting of someone he should know. To the prince's great surprise, when he raised his arm, the picture raised its arm also. When the prince looked into the eyes of his reflection, the eyes would stare right back at him. The picture was alive. It did everything the prince did. Everyone in the great court who saw the reflection knew it was the exact image of Prince Illusio. They were shocked to see a painting so animated and lifelike. The father of the prince, a very wise man named King Miro, went up to his son and pushed him away from his reflection. The wise king was most afraid that the looking glass was stealing the image and spirit of his beloved son. But as he moved his son away, the image of the king appeared in the gift. With great shock, the king held his hand up to order the looking glass to stop doing this. But, to his amazement, his image in the looking glass raised its hand for the king to stop. The king then moved his hand toward the glass and finally touched his image. The mirror felt cold, but it did the king no harm. The mysterious traitor stepped forward. Or was he already in front of everyone? With light laughter and with his best efforts, he explained, "This gift is the gift of reflection called a mirror. One can see how one looks by standing before it. But beware of reflections. They are only reflections and not real. Reflections are illusions. We may see things we wish we never saw about ourselves. Once you see your image in a mirror, you may never think of yourself the same way again, always reflecting and comparing what is real against what is merely an imperfect reflection." It was then that the traitor inconspicuously slipped away. Or was he still there, slightly out of sight but always visible? Everyone in the royal court crowded around the mirror, trying to see their own image within this strange gift. No one thought of asking who this traitor was and where he had gone. No one suspected that this strange man from afar was the fairy spirit Joko, who just gave to the people of Abra the concept of reflections. But why did Joko give these people this strange gift? Because reflections were something the people of this dry desert land knew nothing about. Joko was most curious to see if the people of Abra would see through the illusion of the reflections, or if they would live under their hypnotic power. It was a game that Joko and his brother Shado thought would be fun to watch. Joko is the master of the illusion of reflections and mirrors, while his brother Shado is the master of the illusion of shadows. Shadow can make a man's shadow as tall as a tree or as small as a child. Such fun these two pranksters enjoy, confusing and testing people with their illusions. King Miro was quite unnerved by the mirror and glanced at his sword to make sure it was ready should he need it. He then realized that his image in the mirror looked at its sword in the same threatening way. The king became alarmed and grabbed his sword. He slashed at the mirror and struck the image of his own sword. At that very instant, the mirror broke into hundreds of pieces and fell to the hard marble floor. The pieces then broke into 100 more pieces. The entire court was shocked by how quickly the mirror broke. Within a moment, the mysterious gift was reduced to thousands of broken pieces. The king was saddened when he realized that he overreacted to the threat that was not real. Already, a lesson was learned about reflections, even though the old traitor had warned them. The king thought that the image he saw in the mirror was thinking the same thing that he thought. So the king had attacked his own reflection. The gift was destroyed, but the king had an idea. He ordered that all the pieces of the mirror be collected. The king called for all the great alchemists of his kingdom to appear together in his court. To each of the alchemists, he gave a piece of the mirror. He told them, "You must all stop trying to make gold from the elements and medicine from the plants, and discover how to make another mirror. The first man who can make a mirror will be greatly rewarded." Off to their laboratories, the alchemists hurried to be the first to discover the secret matter of the mirror. The alchemists were very excited about their quest for this strange substance, a substance that, when looked upon, would stare right back. The little pieces the alchemists received as samples were large enough to offer small reflections of their eye, nose, or teeth. An old scientist wanted a better look at his piece of the magical matter. He was weak and trembling with age and could not see very well. So he took his chip of mirror outside so he might see it better in the sunlight. Quicker than the old man could blink his eyes, the bright desert sun reflected off the mirror and blinded him for a second. Frightened and shaking, the ancient alchemist dropped his piece of mirror onto the hot desert sand. With his sandal, he quickly buried it deeply in the sand. He was now so terrified that he never wanted to look at his piece of mirror again. The alchemist believed the mirror possessed magic. Magic was the missing element. Nothing they could mix together would make a mirror. All the chemicals and potions they worked with when they tried to make gold and other precious metals could not be made into a mirror. The mirror, the alchemists thought, contained the secret of life itself. Months went by, and no one came close to making a mirror. The king was very sad indeed, since, in his own fear and haste, he destroyed the great mirror that can never be replaced. The king cared no more about his other good fortunes, such as his jewels or his kingdom. "After all," the king thought, "I was only trying to protect my son, the prince." On a day that the sun was behind the clouds, and an evening where no moon came forward, the fairy spirit Joko and his brother Shado were resting together in the desert between two sand dunes. Shado is a man who has no color. He appears to be gray if the lighting is dark, and black if the lighting is bright. And also, just like a shadow, he can appear short or tall when he wants. On this day, Shado was very bored, because there were no shadows to cast, since there was no sun or moon to help him with the shadows. So Joko and Shado were drinking much wine and talking very loudly to each other. Joko said in a boasting manner, "You should have seen how shocked the king and the entire royal court were as they saw their reflections in the mirror. They thought a live person was in the mirror. I tricked the people of Abra so easily." The desert was indeed very dark that evening Micah lost his way in the desert. He wandered within hearing distance of the two brothers. Micah heard their voices in the dark air and followed the sound until he came upon the tricksters. As Micah approached their camp, he remained hidden to be sure the two very drunk strangers were not bandits who would steal his money and kill him. As Micah listened over the top edge of the sand dune, he heard what Joko was saying to Shado. Micah was from a poor family and was not allowed in the royal court, so Micah was not present at the royal court the day that Joko presented the king with the mirror. But he heard the story of the mirror, and he knew the king was offering a great reward for a new mirror. Micah realized that he stumbled upon the strange traitor who knew the secret matter of the mirror. He wanted to find a way to get Joko to reveal the secret to him. As Micah listened to the two brothers, he realized how boastful and drunk they both were. He thought to himself that there must be a way to trick the secret out of Joko. An idea came to Micah to trick the two tricksters. He would fool them with their own reflections and illusions. Micah was yet a fair boy without hair on his face. His voice was not yet deep like a man's voice. His bones were thin, which gave him the appearance of being small. So Micah covered his face and body as best he could with the hood of his robe and walked down toward the fire of Joko and Shado. With a voice as soft as possible, Micah said, "I lost my way to the dance in the village, and now I will not be able to dance this night." The two brothers were delighted to think an exotic young woman appeared from the desert into their campground. The light of the fire was just dim enough to convince the drunk brothers that a lost woman just found her way to their camp. Shado offered, "I have a drum in my bag. I would be happy to play if you would honor me by dancing for me." But Joko interrupted, "I have some cymbals for your fingers. Wouldn't you rather dance for me?" Then Micah answered in a soft voice, "I would love to dance for both of you, but I am only one person. I know of no way to become two people at once." Shado cast a long shadow behind Micah to make Micah look even more desirable. Then Joko got a great idea. "I have a way to make two of you, although it is only an illusion." Joko hurried to his wagon that contained many of the unusual items he had to trade. He found what he was looking for. He brought to the fire a large piece of glass the size of a person. He then took some silver paint and quickly painted one of the sides of the glass. He stood the piece of glass up in the sand next to Micah, and to Micah's surprise, The piece of glass was now a mirror, which reflected his image. Micah took off his sandals and planted his feet in the cool evening sand, the same sand that during the heat of day would have scorched his bare feet. He began wiggling his toes to the rhythm of the drums. After no time at all, Micah felt more relaxed and began to enjoy the drumming. Soon he was shifting his body back and forth with the beat. With a smile on his face, Micah saw his reflection in the mirror as he danced with himself. Then, Micah exploded into a dance of joy as he realized that he now knew how to make a mirror. He loved waving his arms in the air as he danced, while watching his funny-looking image imitating his every movement. So simple, but so wonderful. As Micah danced and danced, Joko enjoyed his own dancer within the mirror. Shado enjoyed his dancer with the long shadow. Shado soon got tired of drumming, and he closed his eyes for just a second. He instantly fell asleep by the fire. Micah turned the mirror so Joko could see his sleeping brother in the mirror, and soon Joko fell asleep also. By then, the first light of day was approaching, and Micah quietly left the brothers and returned to his village. He left the mirror behind.
"Get away from me, boy. You can make a mirror like I can make gold out of sand," one of the alchemists said to Micah.
"The secret matter is as common as the sand in the desert. Please give me a chance to prove that I know the secret," Micah pleaded with the alchemist. Micah was not an alchemist, nor anyone of importance in the land of Abara. He tried to tell people who would listen that he knew the secret of the mirror, but everyone just laughed at him. But people were talking, and word got around that a young man, or an older boy, claimed to know the secret of the mirror. All the alchemists working for months could not solve the mystery of the mirror, but this lad was able to. Soon the king heard the rumor. In desperation, the king summoned the lad to his court. Micah had very little money. He knew that he had only one chance to unfold the mystery of the mirror. Micah needed to buy a small vial of silver paint. This was not easy to find and was very expensive in the desert kingdom. He wandered throughout the village, in and out of shops, until he found an obscure little shop that sold very unusual artists' colors and paints. Micah did not have enough money to buy the paint, but he begged the owner of the shop to sell him the paint. "Oh, sir, I can see that your paints are of the finest quality. Do you sell your paints to a poor promising artist for the same price as a rich man who cannot paint? Someday I may become a famous painter, and I will reward you handsomely if you give me a discount. Just think about how good you will feel tonight as you go to sleep, knowing that you helped a gifted young artist." Not only did he give the lad a bargain, but, for good luck, the shopkeeper also gave him a small paintbrush. Micah was very nervous about appearing before the king, so he was relieved that his mother agreed to come with him. He had only his old robe to wear. When Micah and his mother appeared before the king, at first the king thought that they were beggars asking for money. "Is this a boy or a young girl who comes before me?" the king Miro said to himself. When Micah approached the king, Micah announced, "I have solved the mystery of the mirror and would be honored to show my knowledge to the king and his court. However, as you can see, I am a poor lad. First, I very much would like to know what will be my reward for solving the great mystery. The King Miro was rather taken aback by the boldness of this request, but he did promise a great reward. Now, the king doubted that the lad knew the matter of the mirror, and thought that he would punish Micah for wasting his time. The king said, "The reward I intended is that the eldest daughter of the alchemist who could make a mirror shall become the wife and princess of my son Eluzio." Micah was very disappointed and told the king, "I am too young to have a daughter old enough to marry your son. Your son himself is older than I am." The king responded, "Well, that is the reward. Take it or leave it, but you cannot leave without solving the mystery of the mirror. And if you are lying and cannot solve the mystery, I will punish you and your family. You will wish you never boasted that you solved the mystery." As the sun climbed over the sand dune, the light of day awakened the trickster brothers from their drunken sleep. Both men were very hungover from too much wine. As they gathered their thoughts about where they were, as one does when one awakens in a strange place, they could not really remember what happened the night before. When Joko stood up, he was shocked to see his image in the mirror that was standing upright in the sand. He almost fell into the hot coals from last night's fire. He then recalled that the night before, a mysterious young maiden had danced for Shado and him around the fire. She somehow slipped away, as mysteriously as she arrived, while he and Shado slept. He could not remember whether the young maiden saw him make the mirror, or if he kept the secret to himself in the dark. Joko did not think of the incident again until several days later, when a merchant came to his camp in the desert to buy some wares and spices. "So what have you heard from the king's court? Has anyone found the secret matter of the mirror?" Joko asked the merchant, knowing that the answer was no. The merchant surprised Joko with a rumor he heard. "A young lad claims to know the mystery of the mirror, and the lad was summoned by the king to reveal the mystery." So Joko and Shado used all their crafts of illusion and disguised themselves so they would not be recognized. With long shadows and reflections of light, they stole their way into the king's court. Joko thought the boy looked familiar, but he remembered that it was a young maiden who was at his fire. So Joko was relieved to think that Micah was an impostor who did not know the secret of the mirror. Much to Joko's surprise, Micah asked the king to bring forth a piece of glass as tall and as wide as a man. Glass was very rare and expensive, and also a mystery to the alchemists of Abra. Glass only came to Abra in the last few years by some far-away traders who found it in the lands to the north, across the Great Sea. But the king ordered that this piece of glass be brought into the room as Micah requested. Then Micah brought forth his vial of silver paint, and, as quickly as possible, he painted the back of the glass with his small lucky brush. To the surprise of the king and the entire court, the king saw his image appear in the front side of the glass as Micah painted the back side. Much to the king's delight, the king knew the mystery of the mirror was forever solved. It was nothing more than a piece of glass with silver paint on the back. Everyone in the court began to clap with joy, except Joko, who was furious that his best illusions and trick no longer belonged to just him. Micah had fooled Joko at his own game of illusion.
He wanted his revenge upon Micah and thought to himself, "You want to pretend to me that you are a maiden? So I will make you look like an ugly girl to everyone who sees you." So Joko cast a powerful spell on Micah. When Micah looked into the mirror to see his image, much to his surprise, he saw a beautiful young maiden in a beautiful royal robe. Micah's mother then said, "It is a miracle that this should happen to Micah. Before I gave birth to Micah, I gave birth to 3 daughters. My husband ordered that my next child be a boy. If my 4th child was not a son, he would take the newborn away from me. He would bring the baby girl into the desert and leave her to die. When Micah was born, I began to cry because she was a girl. I loved the child so dearly and did not want my husband to take her away to die in the desert. So I lied to my husband and told him that he had his wish and that I gave birth to a boy. He was very happy, and we called the child Micah. As is the way of our people, I kept Micah always clothed, and I always told Micah that he was a boy. If Micah knew he was really a girl, the young child would not be able to keep the secret, and her father would find out in time." Micah's mother continued, "The great spirits no longer want Micah to hide that she is really a girl. They dressed her in the finest gown and now offer her to the king as the beauty she always was, but was forced to hide. And then everyone saw Micah from then on as a beautiful young maiden." The king was moved by the story and by the magic that turned the raggedy boyish girl into a lovely maiden. As he looked in the mirror, he could also see his son in the background, right behind him. The prince was gazing in awe at the beauty of Micah, and the king knew the proper ending of this story. "Micah, your mother loves you very much, and she saved you from certain death. You were very brave to venture into the camp of the 2 tricksters. As your reward, I offer my son's hand to you in marriage." Prince Illusio was very happy because he was instantly attracted to Micah the moment he saw her in court. At first, he thought he would like to become the friend of the bold beggar boy. Now the prince was falling in love with beautiful Micah. Micah was very shocked about her true identity. She liked the beautiful young woman she saw in the mirror and did not mind being her. She thought about her fear that she would never become the man her father wanted. A tremendous relief overcame Micah, and she began to cry just a little. She sensed how easy it was for her to be a girl. She then began to laugh out loud about how silly she was to ever hope that she would someday become a strong man. Micah looked at Prince Illusio and saw the way that he looked back at her. The warmth of his eyes overcame her. Yes, Micah wanted to marry the prince. She agreed to try to become a true lady and someday be worthy to become the queen of Abra. Joko, angry, left the court. He was fooled twice at his own game. First, he thought Micah was a woman. Then he thought Micah was a boy, but Micah was really a girl. Then, instead of punishing her and making her ugly, he had made her into an even more beautiful woman. And that is not all. Now, everyone knew the secret of the mirror. Jogo and Shado left the land of Abara. Shado just laughed and laughed at his brother Jogo. This made Jogo even madder. Shado still has his powers over shadows. To this day, he plays tricks with them. But that day, Jogo lost most of his power over mirrors. However, there are other illusions besides mirrors. And Jogo knew this. Jogo also likes to play with words. So he perfected his skills with another form of illusion called the paradox. He learned how to make things appear one way that were really another. He learned to make statements seem contradictory, unbelievable, or absurd, but they may actually be true in fact. And there are great paradoxes in the world for Jogo to play with. To this day, he is still a sly trickster. And sometimes, he will make a person see things in a mirror that are not real. He can make someone think that they have a big nose when indeed they don't. He can make a vain woman who thinks she is beautiful see herself as even more beautiful than she really is. It is up to us to see through the tricks of Jogo and know that they are only tricks. Jogo hides in the trees and the bushes, and he hides behind mirrors, still hoping to amuse himself with a good trick. But now we know the tricks they play, and to fool with us, they will need another way.
Well, I bet you weren't expecting that ending. I didn't know it would end that way either. And I'm the author, John Orlando. Somehow my characters seem to take over my mind and write their own stories. Please check out my website at legendary.com, where you can read more about the Elfin brothers Jogo and Shado. They are main characters in the rest of the book called The Drums of Legendary. It's loaded with more of their wacky antics and mind-boggling stories that will take you from ancient to modern times. By the way, I'm a drummer and I created the music you heard in the background. You can also listen to more of these drum songs on the Legendary.com website. That's www.legendery.com. As a temporary free gift, feel free to share this story with your friends and family by mail or other copying methods. This free offer won't last long, so do it now while you're thinking of it. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.